Good morning. I'm surprised and thankful to see so many here this morning. Surprised because I know we have people traveling and people out sick and people recovering from surgery. And I thought, well, it's going to be a small crowd today, but turned out not so. So I'm glad to see so many here. I entitled the sermon Better Than the Last One. What do you think I'm talking about? Sandwich? Huh? Talking about the next year, 2017. Tomorrow starts a new year. Actually, midnight tonight, if any of you stay up. I'm not one of those who stays up and cares. Whatever happens, I'll see it in the morning on the news. So I'm not one to stay up until midnight and watch it come in. And you know, my mom always was. And when she got older, she set the alarm. She'd go to bed at 8 or 9 and set the alarm for 11:30 and get up because for some reason she just had to see that ball drop. But I was never that away. What do you anticipate for this upcoming year? Are you full of enthusiasm, eagerly looking forward to what each day will bring? Or are you filled with dread, worried that 2017 will be worse than 2016? Your attitude, your frame of mind, and your reaction to events will largely determine whether 2017 is a year of victory or a year of defeat. The Apostle Paul was never one to let circumstances conquer him. Instead, with God's help, he has determined to win the victor's crown. Listen to this attitude, dedication, and determination shine through in these words found in our scripture reading for today. And I'm going to share this with you again because at the end of it, in my Bible, there's a quote from Acts of the Apostles that I wanted to share with you. Paul starts out in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Acts of the Apostle, page 483, and it's entitled on No Divided Service. He who would build up a strong, symmetrical character, he who would be a well-balanced Christian must give all and do all for Christ, for the Redeemer will not accept divided service. Daily he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the Word of God, learning its meaning and obeying its precepts. Thus he may reach the standard of Christian excellence. You know, it never surprises me anymore. It used to, but whenever I would pick a topic for the message, the Sabbath school always seems to go along. And sometimes it's not just the Sabbath school, but sometimes we get off track back in the Sabbath school class, and that seems to go along too. And I was just amazed today how much went along with this message, because I want to talk about what you expect out of 2017 and what we can get. Paul actually gives us three tips here in Philippians 3 that will help us for the new year. First tip is to recognize the value of time. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do his precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Unknown author. What kind of value do you place on time? Or do you even consider the amount of time you spend on any given project? You know, I don't know if it depends on what kind of work you do. I guess being in the machining end, and I'm sure with Begley's also, when you look at a project, you have to consider how much time you're going to have in it because you plan to get paid for that time. But, you know, there's other things that go on. Babysitting. How many of you have ever babysitted? How much time does that take? You know, there's a cost to everything we choose to do. How do you value 1 year? Ask a student who's failed a grade. How do you value 1 month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely. How do you value 1 week? Ask an editor of a weekly magazine. How do we value 1 day? Ask someone who lies terminally ill in the hospital. How do you value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane and a very important engagement that can never be rescheduled. And how do we value 1 second? Ask an Olympic medalist. Ask someone who barely avoided a car accident. Or ask someone who is saying goodbye to a loved one for the last time. The Bible often speaks of the briefness of life. It compares life to a weaver's shuttle rapidly going back and forth. It also compares it to the shadows of summer that quickly disappear. And we, in one of Christ's parables, it actually compared it to the grass which grows, dies, and then is burned. The Bible also teaches us that life is uncertain. Time is like a valuable commodity in a very delicate vessel. The vessel might break in any given moment, and we could lose everything. We have no assurance of the future, but we have this moment. And that is all that we really have. Because of life's uncertainty, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And for anyone who hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior, I say, don't put it off a moment longer. Today, right now, is all you really have. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because life is uncertain, we must take every advantage of the time we have. I'd like to share something with you from Testimonies to Ministers, a book I've had for 20 years, I suppose. Beginning on page 516, it's called, entitled, The Victorious Life. And she starts out by saying, dear friend, the Lord has given me a message for you, and not for you only, but also for other faithful souls who are troubled by doubt and fears regarding their acceptance by the Lord Jesus Christ. His word to you is, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called thee by the name, thou art mine. If you desire to please the Lord, you can do this by believing his promises. He is waiting to take you into a harbor of gracious experience, and he bids you be still and know that I am God. You have had a time of unrest, but Jesus says to you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The joy of Christ in the soul is worth everything. Then are they glad because they are privileged to rest in the arms of the everlasting love. She goes on to say, do not talk of your inefficiencies and your defects. When despair would seem to be sweeping over you and taking control of you, look to Jesus, saying, he lives to make intercession for me. Forget the things that are behind and believe the promise. I will come to you and abide with you. God is waiting to bestow this blessing of forgiveness, of pardon for iniquity, of the gifts of righteousness upon all who will believe in his love and accept the salvation he offers. Christ is ready to say to the repenting sinner, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The blood of Jesus Christ is the eloquent plea that speaks in behalf of sinners. This blood cleanses us from all sin. Another one of Paul's suggestions out of Philippians was leave the past behind. The Spirit of Prophecy said it here on page 517 of Testimonies. Paul also said it in Philippians 3:13. We are special beings in that God has given us the ability to remember. Memory can be your friend or it can be your enemy. When you look back on the past year, I hope you can remember some pleasant things and dwell on those. But you'll probably also remember some unpleasant moments. At times, we might dwell upon the negative and begin feeling sorry for ourselves. Maybe this past year was a time of great transition in your life. Maybe your children grew up, married, and left home, and now you're struggling with an empty nest. I never had that problem. Or maybe you lost your job and are having trouble making ends meet. Maybe a loved one died and you're dealing with grief and loneliness. Or maybe last year sin got a real grip on your life and now you're dealing with the burden and guilt of that sin. Past events and experiences can cripple us and hold us hostage if we're not careful. The Apostle Paul said, "I forget about what lies behind." Paul could have been burdened by guilt over his past actions. He had persecuted the church of God. He had used his authority to kill Christians. By his own admission, he said, "I am the chief of sinners." He could have been crippled by a tremendous burden of guilt, never becoming the great apostles whose words and life teach us still today. But Paul said, "Forgetting what is behind." In other words, he said, "God, I commit to you. I seek your forgiveness for all the sins of the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. And right now, I'm going to live today the best I can." At the start of a new year, this is an important prayer for all of us to pray. Forget what is behind and press forward toward the goal in Christ Jesus. And lastly, in Philippians, Paul says for us to set priorities. I've got three little stories, and when I say little, they're little, that I want to share with you. The first one is talking about a man with priorities. And that's one thing we need to do for the upcoming year is to set some priorities. Recently, I talked to a man I called Mr. Lukewarm. For he is neither hot nor cold. He says he is a Christian, but seldom attends church. He says, "I am under a great deal of tension where I work," he explained, "and often goes fishing on weekends for relaxation. Church is all right, but a person can't do everything, you know." Mr. Lukewarm also had an uneasy conscience about his giving. For he continued, "I put a dollar or two in the offering plate whenever I go, and I think that's all God expects of me. If I gave a tenth of my income, it would amount to more than $2,000. You just don't know how expensive it is for me to maintain my cabin at the lake and pay dues to keep my membership at the country club and the bowling league. Anyway, churches put too much emphasis on money. Sometimes I get so disgusted with this talk about sacrificing for Christ that I feel like quitting altogether." What do you think about this gentleman's priorities? Are you making any changes to your priorities for 2017? The old saying is, if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always gotten. If you're not satisfied with your Christian experience, make some changes this year. You deserve to be happy. The second story is about a man who knows what he believes. An ignorant man, that's a good way to start out, isn't it? An ignorant man was examined on the subject of his faith as follows. "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe what the church believes." "What then does the church believe?" "Well, the church believes what I believe." "Tell me then, I pray you, what is it which you and the church both believe?" "Well, truly, sir, the church and I both believe the same thing." Is that a guy that knows what he believes? Do you know what you believe and why? Maybe it'd be a good idea to make this year, 2017, a year of earnest Bible study, to dig deep and know why you believe what you profess to believe. And the last one is about a faithful church. And I wanted to see if this was your idea of faithfulness. There is a church which sends in its annual statistical statement year after year as follow. Number of members added by baptism, zero. Number of members added by letter, zero. Number of members dismissed by letter, five. Number of members who have died, three. Amount raised for home missions, zero. Amount raised for foreign missions, zero. And then they conclude by saying, pray for us, brethren, that we continue faithful unto the end. That's not what I consider faithfulness. Friends, we have to be faithful in all areas of our lives if we want to make it to heaven when Christ comes back to take us home. We have to be good witnesses. We have to have a plan about giving. We have to pray. We have to study. We have to fellowship, and the list goes on and on. Whenever God has called you to do, be faithful in doing it. To make 2017 a good year, we must establish good priorities. Paul says, this one thing I do. Paul obviously did more than one thing. He made tents, he preached sermons, he established churches, he healed the sick, he wrote letters, and he did many other different things. But he said, the top priority in my life is to press on toward the goal for the prize for which God has called me. Paul's word remind us of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. During the past Christmas season, the world was reminded again that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In his love, God offers us the most wonderful gift we could ever receive. How will each of us respond to that gift? Here's another story. Once there was an old beggar woman who had run out of money. She was very poor and couldn't pay her bills. Her landlord had threatened to throw her out if she didn't soon pay her rent. She had only a candle to warm herself, and on Christmas Day she warmed her hands over the candle's flame. When she heard a knock at the door, she was afraid to answer for fear that the landlord had come to throw her out of her humble cottage. Blowing out her candle, she sat quietly in the dark and waited for the visitor to leave. A few days later, she learned that the knock on the door had been the knock of a friend coming to bring her enough money to pay her rent and bills. How many times have we heard the gentle knock of the Savior, who wants so much to come in and free us from the burden of sin? Today, God's invitation is offered to all who will accept and receive him as Lord of their lives. You know, just last week, people swooed and sang and went to parties and praised Jesus' name because he came as a baby in a manger. But he also came as the Redeemer of this world. And today he waits patiently to walk with each of us into a new year. My plea to you this morning is to please take God with you in 2017. Who knows? This might be our year.